محمد صلى على رسول الكريم. In a certain dialogue, the Muslims were told, كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا. If you want to be right, then you become a Christian or become a Jew. Otherwise, you will be a lost case. So Allah Ta'ala teaches us the answer. قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. The previous religions, when they were revealed at the time of revelation, they were true and they were not distorted and changed. So perfect, pure, undiluted came to them, came to the Anbiya, and the Anbiya had passed on to the Ummah. So it was in the right form. But all these previous religions, though they were heavenly, but they had an expiry date. And at the expiry date, it was no longer preserved and protected. So it's past expiry date, and when it's past expiry date, then there'll be changes, there'll be distortions, there'll be additions, there'll be commissions to it. So in the process, Judaism had become a thing like a racial thing. So they believed that نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. We are a selected community, only we got the right to Jannat. إِنَّا نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. We are the favorites of Allah Ta'ala. So Jannat is exclusive for us. With the exclusion of the rest of people, Jannat is only our right. Their reasoning was that, see, we are hailing from the children of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So when we are hailing from the children of the Anbiya alayhi salam, so definitely we'll be blessed. Our righteous will go into Jannat straight away, and those that are wrong, a small little trial they'll go through, and they will go to Jannat. So irrespective of what they do, because they are coming from the progeny of a Nabi, therefore they felt that we are blessed and we are going straight to Jannat. So they based their whole faith on a lineage. So when it's based on a lineage, then a lineage is a thing that you can't make it. If you don't come from a certain family, then we can't be in that family because we don't belong to them. So they made that into a family thing, a tribal thing. So they went into a sectarian section and it became a racial thing. Then you went on to the Christian. The Christian also lost its divine protection. When it's lost its divine protection, then 3 centuries after Isa alayhi salam had been ascended, there was a major conference in Sinjar, somewhere in Turkey. So the popes, the pastors and the priests have all joined up in the conference, and they agreed now that the Bible or the New Testament is a little bit too difficult for us to follow, so we'll have to make some adjustments. Break away from the original shackles of the law. So they all agreed, and there was no one that disagreed. So when they broke away from the shackles, then they thought to themselves that it is religion that is bringing about all this difficulty. This is not right, this is right. That is haram, this is permissible. This is faras, this is mustahab. So religion was bringing all this difficulty. So let's get ourselves cleared from the shackles of religion. So when they got themselves cleared from the shackles of religion, then everything became right for them. So a Christian or anything can do, eat pork, swine, wine, womanize, everything will be right. They had the belief, and just to cover themselves, they had the belief that he died for you, that means Jesus had died for you. So now you've got the passport to sin. So any crime that you commit, you will be forgiven because he died for your sin. So now, it made the Christian world a totally irresponsible community because they did not care about breaking anything that is forbidden. He died for your sin. So when he died for your sin now, everything is permissible. You can, on a Diwali, you can go and celebrate Diwali. You can eat pork, you can womanize, you can do every wrong because he died for your sin. And Islam says no, no. There's a thing like individual responsibility. Every person, laha ma kasabat, walakum ma kasabtum. Every person is responsible for his works. I can't assume responsibility for you, nor can you assume responsibility for my wrongs. My wrongs, then I must face the consequence. Your wrongs, you face the consequence. I can't say now, he murdered and I'm assuming the responsibility for his murder. No. You murdered, so you will assume the responsibility and nobody else. So now, Allah Ta'ala teaches us the answer. Bal millata Ibrahim Hanifa. You will follow the way shown to us by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he was Hanif. Hanif means he was pure and devoted. So there was nothing, no dilution and no addition in his code. Code that he brought, there was no such a thing like you are an exclusive race or you are not responsible for your wrongs. Every person is responsible for his crime. Bal millat Ibrahim Hanifa. Again, the Quran Sharif then emphasized on this point that what was the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Now we are asked that we follow the same code. So, but what was the thing, what was the most distinct feature in the code of Ibrahim alayhi salam? So, the thing that was most distinct in his code was that he and his son Ismail alayhi salam, whilst they were constructing the Baytullah, then jointly they had made this dua, Rabbana waj'alna muslimayn laka. Our Rabb, make us that we bow down, we bow in submission. We bow down in submission for you at any situation, every situation, and we are ones that will bow in submission to you. So that was now the most outstanding feature in the code of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we are submitting, we are bowing down in submission in every situation. So there may be some things that are pertaining to deen. They will bow down in submission. We will say that Jummah has got 2 rakats, but on other days, at the same time when you are praying, you are praying 4 rakats. So we are not going to ask why is it 2 now and why is it 4 in the rest of the days. We are not going to ask that question. Because we bow down in submission, it's a command of Allah Ta'ala brought to us by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we take it on from there. We will not ask and we will not question that authority. Maghrib namaz is recited loudly and Zuhar namaz is read softly. We will not ask now why is it soft and why is it loud here. There's 5 times of namaz in the day. We will not ask now why is it 5 and not 6 or why is it not 4. So you bow down in total submission, no questions asked. It's the authority of Allah Ta'ala. In hukmu illa lillah. Allah Ta'ala has got the right to command and to instruct. He's got the right. In hukmu illa lillah. The right to instruct was exclusive to Allah Ta'ala. It is exclusive to him that he can command as he wants. And we are servants and we remain servants. And Allah keep us in Islam and in servitude right to the last. So, this dua was made at the time of constructing the Baytullah, وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. Let us bow down in submission totally to you, and our progenies to come also, let them be in your total submission. So we will not ask, we will not question. So one is the aspects that relate to our deen, namaz, roza, etc. We will not ask why is it that Ramadan comes in March and why is it not coming in December. We will not ask that question. We will not ask why is it 30 days and why can't it be 2 days? We will not ask these types of questions. We say that's the prerogative of Allah Ta'ala, He commands. And our duty is, we are slaves, we just accept the command. Then Quran Sharif says it so clearly, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that your iman is only perfect when you appoint Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to decide in all your matters, religious or mundane, but in all matters you appoint Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to take a decision in all your affairs. And then not only will you allow him to take a decision in all your affairs, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ, then you don't find any type of resistance within your heart. So why did Rasulullah say this, and why did he say it like this? So we don't find any hesitation, any resistance in our mind. When Rasulullah has taken a decision, we take it, we embrace it wholeheartedly. So Allah Ta'ala says that your iman is only perfect when you comply completely with Rasulullah's commands and teachings without any resistance. No resistance whatsoever, no hesitation, no resistance whatsoever. But that's the perfection of Islam. Then again, it was not just a dua that was made for Islam, it was a legacy that was left by all the Anbiya alayhim salam. وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, die in the state of Islam. Right. A man generally works, he sweats hard, mainly for his children, right? That my children can have some type of a material security. You slog, you work, you study, become a professional person. So what's your primary concern? My children, my wife after me, they have some type of a shelter, some type of a material security. Otherwise, if it was only your concern, then you wouldn't have worked so hard. So that is the primary concern of most people. But the Anbiya alayhim salam, their main concern is something else. It's not that they abandon and they discard their family and the children, they have got some concern. But the overwhelming figure and concern of the Anbiya is, وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِي وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ, the overwhelming concern is the concern of deen. That my children, they remain upon deen, upon Islam perfectly, no deviation, absolutely perfect. They remain on this. لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, till the dying day. So it is not only something that they practiced, but they lived for, they worked for, and they die with. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. The Buddha Hadith says it very clearly, كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْسَرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that as you will live, you will die in that state, and as you die, then you will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah. If you are living and you are imitating the West, Kufar, Christians, Jews, etc., then if you are living like that, you like their styles, you like their ways, you like their culture, you like their weddings, you like everything of theirs, right? Then you are preferring that, then kama tahyawna tamutun, then you die. Because you like them, you prefer their ways, you enjoyed their culture, you enjoyed their style, their wedding, etc., you enjoyed their birthdays. So then you must die like how they died. How they died, then you can't be having your one leg in Islam, and one leg in Judaism, one leg in Islam, and one leg in kufr. You can't have it. Can't have the both. Either you come to Islam complete, or then count yourself to be out of Islam. But now having one leg in Islam and one leg in Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism, then Islam doesn't want to accept this type of a agreement. So this agreement is cancelled, is null and void. We don't want to accept it. So this was a legacy that every Nabi left. وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيَ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, then you must die in Islam. That means you live your whole life in Islam so that you can secure a death upon Islam. But if your life is in a balancing state, balancing on Islam and Christianity and everything else, then you have no security. For your end, you have no security. And when there's no security for your end, then you can understand yourself and how you will be grouped up on the day of Qiyamah. Quran says so clearly, Hadha Yawmul Fasl, Jama'anakum al-Awwaleen. What a serious verse this is. Pertinent and serious. This is a day of sorting out. Idha Nufus Zuwijat. People will be sorted out according to their likes and their fancies. What you like, you are grouped up accordingly. You like algaes, then you get grouped up with them. Then whatever their fate is going to be, then your fate is going to be the same. You like Christians, etc., then you be with them. You like modernism and Christianity or Westernism, so then you die with them. Because you know, you like them, you prefer their ways, you prefer their culture, you prefer their styles. You lived it, so you die. How you live, you will die. So this was the legacy that was left by the Anbiya alayhi salam. Ya buniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-din fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And then to round this whole discussion, Allah says, tilka ummatun qad khalat laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. When you are talking about religion being something of a racial nature or a nationalist thing, right? Or you feel that, you know, that he has assumed the responsibility of our crimes. Then Allah says that this is all null and void. It's got no basis. Laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. What this person has done, he will reap the fruits of his effort. And what he has done, what you have done, you will reap the fruits of your effort. That means if you want to be scoring in the hereafter, you will have to work towards that. You're working towards that, and you will reap the fruits. The work is obviously commitment to the style of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you, everything else doesn't mean anything to you. I want to see that am I committed to my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have committed myself to his style, how he conducted himself in public, in private, domestic affairs, business affairs. How did he conduct himself? So I need to see that I am committing myself to that same. So now, laha ma kasabat, wa lakum ma kasabtum. What he has strived for, he will see the fruits of his effort. And what you strive for, you will see the fruit of your effort. Therefore the hadith says, man bata'a bihi amaluhu, lam yusriq bihi nasabuhu. Someone depends on his lineage, you know. Oh, I got some contacts, I got some friends, they will bail me out. So the hadith warns you, man bata'a bihi amaluhu. You depend on these things here, then your lineage and your contacts will be of no avail. لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُ. Your lineage, your contacts will be of no avail. It's your behavior, your actions that counts. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Remember, in the hereafter, you're not going to be answerable for that person's crime. Your child, whoever else, your friend, whatever he did, whatever the next person did, you're not answerable for his works, and he is not answerable for your works. Unless, yes, you had encouraged him on the path of wrong, you had led the path of wrong, then obviously you are answerable, because you led that path of destruction, you led him to the path of ruin. So you'll be answerable for his wrong, but he will not recluse himself saying, this person, Ya Allah, he was the one that has misled me, so Allah punish him and save me. Every person is responsible for what he's done. Another grand assault.